Hallelujah. You may be seated. If you can, if you got your Bibles, I'm going to do a resurrection sermon this morning. Go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 28. I have preached many, many times and many sermons on the resurrection. I preached a sermon a few years ago called What a Difference a Day Make. Just one day. One day he's dead, the next day he's alive and doing well. People wonder why did Jesus do that? I'll be telling you why in just a few minutes, and I'd like you to take some notes if you can, and you'll be blessed by it. Now, if I say something you disagree with, that is simply okay. I don't mind. If you want to be wrong, you can be wrong. No, I'm just joking. But I mean, it's to understand the revelation of God, the revelation that revealed knowledge so that it would manifest on every day of your life. I want to start with me reading Matthew chapter 28. I want to read with verse 1. I'm going to skip over here. And it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Did you notice he sat upon the hindrance? He sat upon the thing that the world thought could keep Jesus inside that grave. And that's somebody, the angel said, believe I'll just sit on this thing. Glory to God. Make it a pulpit. I love that. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Verse 7, there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. Are you willing to run to bring a word from God to somebody? Are you willing just to take off down the road no matter what's happening? Don't care about the weather. Don't make no difference. Just to go give somebody a word from the Lord Jesus Christ. A word from God's representative. Now I want you to stay in that chapter and go all the way over to verse 10. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brother that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. Verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Why? Why? I mean, what makes you think that the people of that day put soldiers around Jesus' grave? Because he said he would rise from the dead. Evidently, they believed him. Now, if the heathen can believe him, why can't you believe him? Amen. They paid money to these guys to keep their mouths shut so Rome wouldn't find out about that. So evidently, they believed that he would come out that grave. Now, how could they believe that? They saw some things you've never seen. They saw the miracle worker in physical operation, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory to God. Watch this. Saying, say ye his disciples, verse 13, came by night and stole him away while he slept. In other words, just say that the disciple come and stole the body. You know, even if they did steal the body, what are you going to do with a dead body? You can't say he's risen because he can't stand up. You can hold him up and say, look, he's risen. Somebody said, no, he just fell down. Pick him back up. No. So notice that they paid money, deception, to stop people from believing that Jesus would rise from the dead. Now, why did he rise? Why did he rise? Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Everybody say all things. All things. Whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, most people talk about the resurrection to death. I want to talk today about the world, about the church, and about you. The reason Jesus Christ rose from the dead was because for the world, for the church, and for you. In that passage of scripture, reading there in verse 18 through 20, you find the world, you find the church, and you find you in these three different verses here. as Matthew 19 and 20 explains to us why he rose from the dead. Now, I just want to talk a little about how dumb the devil is. He really thought that he could literally keep Jesus. So you see, God said, I'm gonna show this boy, I'm gonna use his weapons to deliver my boy. See, through death, God raised Jesus. You see, Satan's biggest tool was death. He figured if he can get somebody to die, it's over, it's finished. But in the very bowels of hell, the Bible said Jesus put off principalities and powers. So he was alive then, just as much as he was alive walking the streets of Jerusalem. He put off principalities. Can you imagine the devil screaming in the halls of hell? I thought we had him. I thought we could keep him here. But my Lord, I mean, hell lit up with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus himself told his father, will you leave my soul in hell? And the father said, enough is enough. He redeemed man right then and there in the bowels of hell. Jesus came blowing out of there. Death was knocked up against the corner. Demons began to scream at Lucifer. You lied to us. You lied to us. You said that he didn't have power. You said he was nothing but a man. And what did Lucifer say? He said, if we would have known, we would have never crucified him. So if Satan can say that, my God, you that know the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be saying what God said, that all power and authority has been given unto Christ, and he has given that authority unto you. Think about that for a minute. This is all going on, brother. What an open shame that Satan did. Demons were mad at him. They were spitting at him. He couldn't do a thing. Death had no hold on it. And that's why the Bible said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave. Why? Because nothing could hold back the power of God Almighty manifested in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's deal with this from this perspective with the church, the world, the church, and you. I want you to write this down here. We do points here that a lot of people like to do notes and stuff. It is not enough that you are possessed with the good news of the gospel. Just because you possess with the good news of the gospel is not enough. See, God's got a convoy, and that convoy is you. He said, go in the world and preach the gospel. Go in the world. Let me read it for you. This is the world right here. This is what God says. And he said this in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Notice he said all nations. It wasn't just for the Jew. It was for everybody that would be willing, bless God, to do something. So it's not just enough to know the gospel. You must speak the gospel. Now you see, you speak the gospel in several ways. You can speak it with words, but you speak it louder with actions. And when you speak with actions, it makes Satan mad. He's still screaming mad, trying to get people to not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But it is too late. He is alive and doing well. So right there, God is telling the world, let me tell you something. I sent my son, for God so loved the world. Why? He wanted the world. That's why I preach so much. You know, God told me one time in prayer, I'll never forget this. He said, make me wealthy, Jesse. I said, make you wealthy. I said, Lord, you got gold streets, diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby. You got heaven, my Lord. He said, Jesse, I don't count my wealth by diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby. He said, I count my wealth by the souls I possess. He said, I want this world, go get this world for me. That's why I refuse to quit. That's why I refuse, bless God, to slow down in any way, shape, or form. As long as there's a sinner on the earth, I got a job to do. If you want to get rid of Jesse the Planet, real easy, everybody get saved, and I'll shut down. I'll just go down on the levee and sit down and enjoy myself watching the boats come down the Mississippi River. Just that simple. So notice he said this to the world, I want this world. The reason for that is because he created this world. This world is his, but yet he gave it to you. Psalms 115 verse 16 says, what does it read? It's one of the most wonderful scriptures ever. He says, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. So when I fly all over this world, it belongs to me. This planet belongs to me, belongs to each and every one of you, given to you by a gift from God, Jehovah. All, I'll tell you everything. That's why Satan hates it. Because you see, he used to be in dominion here. But God gave you the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. When you use that name of Jesus, he knows that. Every devil in hell's got the power. You can put off principalities and powers. We had one of the greatest testimonies the other day. We got a phone call from a lady out of Lafayette. 9 months ago, they gave her maybe 9 days to live. If that much, she will die. Do you understand? She will die. She looked at them doctor full of cancer. I mean, it looked like measles all over her body. She says, I will live and not die. The word of God said, by his stripes I am healed. They all thought she was nuts. They all thought she was crazy. They sent her to the hospice, man. They said, it's not going to work. She's going to die. She said, I will not die. Ladies and gentlemen, they released her the other day. Hospice offered her a job. Hospice offered the woman a job. Somebody shout, somebody. She refused to quit. She called me and Kathy. She said, I'm home. I'm doing what? Hospice gave me a job. They said, will you come back and help all the rest of these people? We just knew you was dead. No, she understood the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And what is she doing? Going to the world with the testimony on her lips of the great and powerful miracle Christ gave her. She had some tough time, but she refused to go by what she see. She did not deny what she saw. She denied its right. She said, I ain't ready. I'll go when I want to go. And you know, that is biblical. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. So if you got cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, infectious disorder of any kind, all you got to do is start talking to it. And I mean talking out loud to it, and don't care about what anybody else thinks, because they ain't going to help it. They going to bury you. They're going to give you with deepest sympathy on your loss. But my God, if you want to stay here, as long as you want to stay, take the word of God as your foundation for life, and you'll live as long as you want. I'm Jesse Duplantis, and I approve this message. Do you understand that? So, it's not enough for you to be possessed with the good news of the gospel. We must realize, write this down, that God is as dependent upon us today as Jesus was upon men in his day. Do you realize how dependent the Lord God Almighty is upon you? Let me say it again. You can write it down. We must realize that God is as dependent upon us today as Jesus was upon men in his day. Jesus didn't do this by himself. He went and get a chosen 12. He had a special 70. God is dependent. God expects me to go to Australia. God expects me to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, him and him crucified and resurrected. He expects that. He is dependent upon me. That's why I get persecuted all the time, because see, he was persecuted. You see, I have received the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they have persecuted him, they will persecute us. But see, what they don't seem to understand, they can't kill us. They can say what they want to say, do what they want to do. Bless God. I like what Jesus said. You kill me, I'll be back in 3 days. Listen, my God, nobody ought to spend any longer in hell than 3 days. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. When I got born again on Labor Day weekend, 1974, I was a dead man, spiritually speaking, till the Lord raised me from the dead. I couldn't control anything in my life. Yet I was the perfect example of what the world wanted. I was successful. I was a rock entertainer. Girls were screaming. I had a career. Johnny Carson wanted me on the Tonight Show. All these wonderful things. My, the world said, this kid's got some talent. But I was dying and going to hell with a big hole inside of me, emptiness involved. But thank God for Billy Graham. Thank God for the partner that preached, that gave him money to preach the gospel on ABC, on CBS, and on NBC. I came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, through Billy Graham, filled up the hole inside of me, and I've been blessed, God, living a life of testimony ever since then. Labor Day weekend, 1974, is a great day for me. You understand? That's 40 years ago. Lord Jesus Christ. So really, I'm only 40 years old. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was born again. You don't like the way you was born? Try it again. It's better the second time. We must realize that God is as dependent upon us today as Jesus was upon men in his day. Write this down. Christian thoughts and feelings are those which Christ sets on fire and makes dynamic. Christian thoughts and feelings are those which Christ sets on fire and makes dynamic. When I talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, whoo, did y'all hear that word from the Visionary Leadership Conference? One of the ministers said, you make Jesus irresistible. Simply irresistible. Yeah. When you make him irresistible, religion will never make him irresistible. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. It won't make him irresistible. But a personal experience, a personal commitment, a personal relationship, and a personal fellowship will make him irresistible. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? We was at our house last night. I was just sitting in my chair. I didn't know Kathy had her eyes on me. I had no idea. I was just sitting in my house. All of a sudden, I could hear it. She said, Jesse, When I turned around, I thought, what I did wrong now? You know, I thought I did something wrong. You know, what? What? She said, I want to let you know I love you. I said, she couldn't help herself. You know why? Simply irresistible. That's all I can tell y'all. I can't tell y'all no more, but that was a good day. Glory to God. Christian thoughts and feelings are those which Christ sets on fire and makes dynamic. You can't get nobody born again by saying, hello, would you like to meet Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? That ain't going to work. That's religion. That's a theological wilderness. That's a garden of weeds. When you become dynamic in your understanding of who he is, oh, you're going to get some persecution. You got to understand some. God will bless. He's no respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith. My God, you start using faith, you're going to get God's attention. You understand? He's going to turn around and look, say, we can use this boy. We can use this woman. Oh, man, hey, this is why? Because I can set their thoughts and feelings on fire and make them dynamic. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Are you dynamic when people see you? Or do you say, oh, yeah, he's a Christian, I think. Oh, when you come to town, oh, Lord, this boy believes in something. This woman believes in something. See, that's what it is. He's talking about the world here. If you want to touch the world, you got to be dynamic. People love dynamic. Yeah. They enjoy that when something's on fire. That's why people like to chase fire trucks. They want to go see what's burning. I got a phone call the other day, I have several investments and things of that nature. I got an investment up on the North Shore, and energy was trying to get a hold of me. Something blew up the transformer in one of my houses. Oh, boy, that's going to be on the news tomorrow, ain't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's all right. Don't make no difference. You know, I can't help it if I'm blessed. It ain't my fault. God notices faith. God will bless faith. God will, something blew up a transformer, something. So I didn't have electricity in this house that I own. I said, that's fine. Don't make no difference. I found out about it. Anyway, I said, don't call me, call Kathy. They called Kathy. And so energy would know. So they said that, the transformer was going to have to fix it. So they just fixed it, which is fine with me. It didn't make any difference to me. You know, it's whatever. But you know, it's amazing that they had to get a hold of me. You see, people will get a hold of you when they lose the power. So you thought I was off the sermon here, didn't you? They get a hold of you when they lose the power. Yeah. See, I mean, you be criticized, as long as that power's running. Like, you may not even be invited to the party, but I want to tell everybody here, I'm going to be invited to that party because I'm the only one who can read that handwriting on that wall. You understand? When you know Jesus Christ as Lord, you're the only one who can read that handwriting on that wall. They didn't like Daniel. They thought Daniel was nothing but nothing. But my God, when God began to write on the wall, they said, we can't read that. But you know why? They had no power. See, people get a hold of you when they lose the power. All of a sudden, somebody like me becomes very, very influential in their lives. Now, I don't go shock them to death. I just turn on a hard light. Yeah, that's all I do. And just let that electricity flow and get things back to working. And what you got to do is reset everything. Because if you go in a house, you can hear all kinds of noises. Doo, 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 your refrigerator. Doo, all kinds of stuff needs to be reset. You just reset things. So if you lose some power, get a hold of someone that understands energy or energy. And all they'll do is cause the flow to come and reset what needs resetting in your life. See, so that's what God was telling us. Write this down. By the word, our hearts is conquered. It is the bread which nourishes and strengthens. See, the word of God is the bread which nourishes us and strengthens us. By the word, our hearts are conquered. You see, I've had some people say, Brother Jesse, you ever thought about backsliding? You ever thought about quitting? To what? To what? To what? I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. Why would I want to do that? Now, there's sometimes I do get mad. Sometimes I do get angry. I'm certainly not perfect by no means. But I tell you what, I'm ever living to become that. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Is there anybody you hate? And that is not a soul on this planet I hate. But there's a lot of people I don't like. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Look, don't look at me weird. You just thought of the ones you don't like neither. Now, Brother Just said, that's not scripture. Yeah, it is. See, that's something. You see, most people don't understand the Bible. Jesus said you got to love everybody. He didn't say you got to like everybody. What? Jesus said you got to love everybody. It didn't say you got to like everybody. Jesus did not like the Pharisee, the Sadducee, or the Zealot. He called him a snake, a hypocrite, and a viper. Yeah. but he went to the cross and died for them. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? But he didn't like them. There's going to be some people you're not going to like. Don't get freaked out over that. That doesn't mean you harm them or hurt them, but you have to love them. You know, there's some people not thorns in the flesh. They're complete bushes. You know, you just thought of them again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you did. It just happens that way sometimes. But that's all right. See, that's part of the world. Everybody's different. Everybody. See, and that's okay. I mean, I have some favorite restaurants in New Orleans, but there's some things on every restaurant that I like in New Orleans that I would not eat. So I don't. See, Kathy can't seem to understand that. She said, you get the same thing all the time. I said, well, let the elevator go to the top, Kathy. I like it. But why don't you try something different? I don't try nothing. I do things. I said, I didn't try to marry you. I married you. I'm not trying to love you. I love you. Don't shout me down. I'm not trying to be saved. I am saved. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. I'm not trying to make money. I got money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, that made some of y'all mad. I can see that. Oh, boy, you touched that money item. Oh, Lord Jesus. The best thing you can do for the poor is not to be poor. Why? Because then you can help somebody. You can be the blessing that you want to be. Man, I went into P.F. Chang's the other day and I had several waiters bidding on me. Let him sit by me. No, let him sit in my section. No, I want him in my section. And everyone come up to me and say, you sure know how to treat people. You know what they're saying? He tips good. Well, what's wrong with that? They got to make a living. And Kathy always want to know how much I tip. How much you give them? I said, enough. That's fine, you know. And I tell you what, they'll bid on me. But my Lord, I can't get over that. And I'm not doing that to show off. I can show off more with that money in my pocket. Amen. But see, they're part of the world. And a lot of them come in and say, what do you do? I said, what would you like for me to do? You know, when you go overseas, and if I put on a suit and I got a briefcase, I walk, I don't really look like a preacher. I look like a businessman. I bet people say, he's a businessman. He must be a doctor or he's a lawyer. The white hair says things for some reason or another. And I just smile, well, what do you do for a living? I said, giving. They go, excuse me. Maybe you didn't understand what I said. I said, well, would you like to say it again? Yeah, what do you do for a living? I say, giving. Giving. You mean giving? Yes. No, really. You can tell us. Well, I'm not lying to you. Giving. My whole life is a seed. My whole life is spiritually, physically, financially. It's a seed. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I tell you what, children notice it. Old people notice it. Adults notice it. I'll never forget one time I was at the Burger King up the street. Yeah, every once in a while, you know, we'll eat a hamburger. We like a little cholesterol, you know. I'm sitting there. This little black boy came up to me. Some of you may have heard me say, he's about 4 years old, 5 years old. You know, children would get in your face. And they just come up to you. He looked at me. I'm about ready to bite this hamburger. And I see him and I just put my hamburger. He goes, hi. I said, hello. He said, are you Jesse Duplantis? I said, yes, I am. Is that your big house? I said, yes, it is. He said, that's good. He just walked off. His mama turned around, come over here, boy. Then he come right back up to me again. He said, I like that house. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, I'm going to build one like it myself. I said, I agree with you 100%. See, that was a prophetic utterance. His mother trying to get him away from him. Excuse me, man. I said, let him talk. I said, because I was 5 years old in an 8 foot wide, 32 foot trailer sleeping on the floor. Me and my oldest brother and my mom and dad didn't have nothing. And I watched Gone with the Wind. I turned around to my mama and I said, I'm going to build a house like the movies. And she said, shut up, boy. You know, my mama never had a house like a house. You know why? Because she couldn't believe for it. But a 5 year old kid got a revelation. Hallelujah. So you see why I don't care if people criticize me. I'm just fulfilling prophecy. And prophecy is history wrote in advance. If you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, you prophesy today. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's not nothing you can't do if you're willing to understand and believe in the resurrected Christ. Why did he rise from the dead? So that he could touch the world. All these other religious leaders didn't do it. But Jesus Christ did it. And some people say he's not coming back. Oh, yes, he is. Now, that's why he said right there in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So that's why I take all kind of requests from many, many different. I preach in Catholic churches. I've preached in monasteries. I've preached in cathedrals. I've preached in synagogues. I've preached out in the field and brush arbor revivals. I've preached with the rain beat me in the head with holes in a tent. I've done many tent meetings. I got a tent meeting anointing on me, boy, when I get in. I've preached with R.W. Shambach running up and down the aisles in the tent. I've done all kinds of different things all my life. Why? Teach all nations. I've sat down and had homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological discussions with Jewish rabbis. I've had them with Lutherans, Episcopalians. I've had them with Catholic priests. I even had them with the Jehovah Witness. Jehovah Witness get a little nervous about me, though. You know, they knock on my door. Hello, we're Jehovah Witness. I said, so am I. Come on in here. They just freak out, boy. Oh. By the time I finished talking to those two women, they was coming over on my side. And the leader said, we got to get him away. My God, he's changing their mind. I wasn't changing their mind. The Holy Spirit was changing their mind. The Holy Spirit, not that I'm calling them wrong people. I'm just saying, man, I just gave them some truth. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. One time I went into a hotel up in Montana. I'll never forget. I just walked down there and there was a bunch of women all wearing white. The whole place covered with white. I mean, all of them had the same white dress on, same white hats on. I got to looking around there and one of them knew me and said, we watch you on television. You just did the planet. So I said, yes, I am. And then they named the religious affiliation. And I said, oh, all of y'all wear this? So I thought, yeah, we wear this constantly. We wear the same thing all the time. I said, don't you get tired of that? And then, yeah, most people want to tell you the truth, but they go, and one lady said, yeah, I am tired of wearing this. I got to thinking, boy, them husbands must have it made. They ain't got to buy them people no clothes. They must have a lot of money in the bank if they ain't buying their wives clothes. I said, why? Well, you know, you have to be holy. I said, holiness is not clothes. Holiness is not makeup. Oh, I see. I said, no. Holiness is the character of God. He said, be ye holy for I am holy. I said, you think I'm holy? They didn't know what to say. I said, do you think I'm holy? Yes, sir. I said, well, I don't have white on. I just looked at him. I said, my. I said, honey, if you want to believe in holiness, I said, just get close enough to God. Because he don't care if you got black on, blue, red, green, yellow, as long as you got him inside your heart. See, I was dealing with a different world there. Wasn't trying to make them leave their religion or whatever. I mean, I've stayed behind a wagon with a guy driving a mule who was an Amish guy waiting for him to hurry up. And I found out mules don't hurry up. I was preaching is it Lancaster, Pennsylvania? My God, I got behind this guy. And I thought, we ain't going nowhere. Just going to have to wait till he turn off. And that's exactly what I didn't get mad. He turned off like that. Man, and I just stopped. I said, hello. And he went, hello. He was very nice. I said, there's a good restaurant. Yes, sir. Come down this road. Follow me. I said, that's going to take a while. Take a while. So I went down. I mean, I'm driving maybe 2 miles an hour. I was saving gas. And there was an Amish restaurant. Some of the best food I've eaten in my life. Boy, them people cook, man. My God. Very, very nice. Not allowed to take pictures. Who? Don't take no pictures of nobody. I wasn't looking for pictures. I was looking for baked potato. That's what I was looking for. Sat down, just talked to them. They asked me, you know, what I did. I said, I'm a minister. A minister of the gospel. Yes. Yeah. See, it's all worlds out there. That's why Jesus rose from the dead. And I don't mean to sound prideful, but people are attracted to me. Amen. I know it. I can sense it. The Lord said, I'm going to make you, and I'm going to use that word, irresistible too. Amen. All of a sudden, people come up to me. Even children, I just look at them and smile at them. They go. Oh, you know it, boy. Something is starting. It's in there. You're not saying a word, but something is starting to cook. Before you know it, man, you got a bunch of people around you. And I tell you, you can really open up a conversation if you buy their meal. I've done that so many times. People I don't even know. Hey, can I buy you? Oh, we can't let you do that. I said, I already did. I said, have a nice day. What do you do? First thing they ask you. What do? I spread love, joy, peace, long suffering, temperance, grace, faith. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what I do. You see, that's why he rose from the dead, so that the world would be touched. Then he began to deal with the church. Watch this. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now that's the church. Write this down. The teachings of God will always make you aggressive. The teachings of God will always make you aggressive. That's why I preach prosperity so hard. Prosperity is aggressive. I am very aggressive against your debt. I'm very aggressive against your poverty. The difference between me and a lot of people in poverty is they finance poverty, I eradicate poverty. Jesus never told us to finance poverty. He told us to eradicate. I'm very aggressive with prosperity, and the only way I can get your attention is to show you something. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. He said, teaching them all things. See, I don't just teach you to get born again. I don't just teach you every once in a while to take Holy Communion, which is wonderful, and you should take it. I teach you how to live in this life. I teach you how to tell your children, you better thank God your mom and daddy know Jesus Christ as Lord, because we have prepared for you an inheritance for your children's children. I teach you how the future can be bright through the power of the Word of God. It's very aggressive in its understanding. Let me say it again. Write it down. The teachings of God will always make you aggressive. There is always a constant stream of power coming into us. So I'm constant. I mean, I get persecuted. Why do I believe in the hundredfold? Why not? Have you ever had a hundredfold? If you ever got a hundredfold, you'd believe in it too. Why? Because you live in an economic world. Yet people get so angry at me. That's all right. I'm very aggressive because you see, I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. And then I'm going to talk about you. The church, Jesus said, teach them. Right? Read that. Let me read that again right there for you in verse 19. Go ye therefore teach all nations, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. So I'm under command to teach you prosperity. I'm under command to teach you peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. That's a commandment to me. And for you people that are visiting today, this is all debt free. Do you know how Bernie, your bank, wanted to lend me money? American Bank wanted to lend me money. I said, I don't need your money. Now, I know that sounds arrogant. That sounds cocky. That's confidence. God said I could build it debt free. You can ask anybody that comes to Covenant Church. I don't pressure people on money. I receive an offering. Why? Why? Because the Bible commands me to receive an offering. See, I'm under commandment. There's some things in the Bible I wish God would not have said. There's some things I wish I could change, but I can't. I like what Pope John Paul II said. One time somebody hollered at him when he came here. Somebody said something kind of stupid, which you should, my God, honor the, my Lord, that's the Pope. You understand what I'm saying? You honor him. To make a long story short, they said, why don't you ordain a woman or something like that? And you know, they have a teaching. That's what they teach. And he says, in his mind, he didn't believe that. He said, well, if you can help me change the teachings of Jesus, I will. And then he just went and bowed his head. And I thought, well, one for the Pope. That's the truth. See, whether you believe in it or not, it doesn't make no difference. He's the King of Kings. Now, if he's the King of Kings, who's the kings he's king over? You ever thought about that? If he's the King of Kings, who's the kings that he's king over? The Bible says God has made you kings and priests in this life. Amen. See, I teach you to be a king. I tell my daughter when she was growing up, she can do anything. I tell my granddaughter when I say, yeah, nothing you can't do, Meredith. Nothing you can't do. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. She told me the other day, she said, Mommy, not feeling good. I said, did you pray for her for Jesus to heal her? Yeah. She get a little aggressive with it. I want her aggressive. You see, God, why? He says that teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the words of our Lord are our authority as well as our encouragement. Write that down. The words of our Lord are our authority as well as our encouragement. Do you see that? My God, man, that stream of power is constantly coming. Some of you writing it down, I'll start it over. The teaching of God will always make you aggressive. There's always a constant stream of power coming into us. And the words of our Lord are our authority as well as our encouragement. So I teach prosperity. I teach salvation. I teach healing. I want the whole counsel of God. Don't tell me miracles are not for today. No, my God, you know why? Because people need miracles. Amen. If there's a need on the earth, God has someone that can supply it. Now, there's some things I teach my Lord. I wish he love your neighbor. Wait, but there's some people hard to love. But that's all right. You still have to. There's always somebody trying to hassle you about something, you know, whatever. And that's fine. I mean, you know, that's life, but that's not the issue. Jesus said, love them anyway. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Those are not easy things. But see, he rose from the dead so we could operate and function in that manner. Now you think about that. So I get aggressive with what you believe in. Now I'm not talking about slapping people around and all kind of, you know, screaming and hollering people's face. Just let your light so shine. I've had people say, I don't believe that. I have. I mean, I had an atheist not long ago come up to me and says, you know, I watch you all the time. What is an atheist watching me for? That don't make any sense, huh? But talk about a waste of time, huh? If you don't believe anything I say, you don't believe in a God. He said, you know, you seem to be pretty intelligent. I said, well, thank you. It's very kind of you to say that. I thought to myself, well, if he thinks I'm intelligent, maybe he ought to listen to what I'm saying. He said, why aren't you an atheist? See, secular progressive. I said, it takes too much faith. He did the same thing you did. I said, it takes too much faith. You have to deny things you physically see, smell, taste, feel, and touch. Well, how do you know there's a God? Because you're asking me about it. I said, you don't really know yourself. I said, that's why you're still searching. I said, difference between me and you, I have found. I said, let me tell you something. When I was your age, I tried induction and reason, range and research. I did all that kind of stuff. I know a lot about science. You understand? I know a lot about what's going on in space. I mean, I was in a conversation yesterday with my great nephew. Well, we were into Betelgeuse, the stars. We were going, I tell you, we were smoking. I've read everything that Einstein's ever wrote. I've read all the books about Einstein. I understand E equals MC squared, energy equals matter times the speed of light squared. I understand physics. I understand all those kinds of things. And every time I read those things, I think, my God, I'm like Einstein. God doesn't shoot dice. He wasn't an atheist. But do you believe in the Big Bang? Yeah. How did that happen? Well, the size of your fingertip of pure energy. Stop. What is pure energy? Well, it blew up. What holds these galaxies together? Dark matter. Really? Dark matter, yes! What is that? Well, we don't know. We can't see it, but we know it's there. Okay. Theoretical physicist. But wait a minute. The universe is too big. We can only fill up 20%, if that much, of the universe with all the matter. Whoa. What else is there? What's moving that? Dark energy. What's that? We don't know. But we know it's there. If you can believe that, which I do, I'm agree with you. How come you can't believe a Jesus that walked on the water? A Jesus that rose from the dead, got an empty tomb in Jerusalem, glory to God. A Jesus that heals, saves, and will take someone that is so bad and turn them around into one of the most amazing persons you've ever met in your life. If you can believe those things, which you should, I think our scientists are great. Global warming. Now that's an oxymoron there, boy. Freezing on, we had the hardest winter. It's warming. Really? Yeah, but the ice sheet just grew another 50%. Oh, but it's warming. Okay. If you want to know all these things, why don't you have some conversation with the person that created it? Why don't you have some fellowship and some relationship with the person that spoke it into existence? You see, if the world is not one, it's not the fault of God. The gospel can only be limited by man. That's what he's telling the church. Let me say it again. If the world is not one, it's not the fault of God. The gospel can only be limited by man. Do you know Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how would I have loved to put you under my wing like a hen takes his chicks," but they would not. How many times God wanted to do something for you and you wouldn't let him? Let's get on something that kind of touchy, money. How many times God told you to give some money so he could bless you, but you didn't want to? And you didn't, which is okay. He still met the need. That's not the issue. The gospel is only limited by man. Because God is unlimited. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. See, I just decided not to put limits on him. You ready for this? He decided not to put limits on me. You can stop everything, man. You just get rid of the limits. Limits. It's not God's. Why don't God feed all the hungry children in the world? He has. But man's inhumanity to man. We store food because we don't have enough silos to put the corn in, so we throw it out on the ground. But if you don't have no money, you ain't getting it. God's caused this planet to produce enough food to feed every woman, boy, or girl in the world. There should not be one starving child anywhere. And yet somebody's going to blame God. Isn't that amazing? If the world is not one, it's not the fault of God. This is Jesus talking to the church, saying when he said teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded them. The gospel can only be limited by man. So I'm dealing now with the world, the church. Now let me deal with you. Why did he rise from the dead? What was the resurrection for? That's what Paul said, to know the power of the resurrection. Because when you understand the resurrection, you finally understand yourself. Write that down. If you really want to know who you are, you're going to have to understand the resurrection. Because when you were born again, you were raised unto righteousness. By grace are you saved. So let's deal with you. What was that part? He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." "Lo, I'm with you always" is a promise of divine presence to all who propagate the gospel. You know, I'm never alone. He's with me constantly. Constantly. He said, "I'm with you always." See, Brother Jesse, do you feel God all the time? No. God's not a feeling. God's a person. Kathy, I don't feel Kathy, but she's with me. You follow what I'm saying? Even when I'm away from her, I'm with you. You see what I'm saying? That's a wonderful promise. I had to talk to a person the other day. They said, "I have thoughts of suicide." I said, "Quit thinking them." You see, let me tell you something about thoughts. They die unborn if you don't speak them. They will abort themselves. If you don't speak a thought, it'll die unborn. It will abort itself. Yes. I said, "Now what you do when you get those thoughts in your mind?" I said, "Speak out loud, because your mind's going to shut up to hear what your mouth got to say." "No, I will not. That's not my thoughts. Do you know I get ugly thoughts in my mind? I get some nasty, stinking thoughts sometimes. I'm driving down the airline highway, and it says 55. That's all I'm going to say about that. Y'all got the same thoughts. Why do you go from 70 miles an hour, then you get up on 310, it drops down to 60? And there they are, just waiting on you. Yes. Why would you build a highway that can handle 75, 80 miles an hour with no safety hazard, and you drive in 55? It's teaching you something. Two things: obedience, patience. My granddaughter shut me down the other day. I was a little irritated. She says, "Grandfather, patience." She's six. Out the mouth of babes. "Patience, grandfather." I said, "I've never been to St. Martin's school. I have not been taught that." She goes to St. Martin. They teach her patience. Patience, patience. I get some ugly thoughts sometimes. Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen a movie you went in and the movie changed the way you thought? You just finished watching The Godfather. And you come out and go, your throat kind of gets raspy. "You got anything to drink in here?" "Want to kiss my hand?"
I'm going to make an offer you don't refuse. Every time I get out, they pull me back in.
That movie changed you. And it could be any movie. That's amazing, isn't it? Somebody mess with you, you just come out of the movie Taken. I have a certain set of skills. All of a sudden, you become that part. I got a certain set of skills. Lo, I'm with you always is a promise of divine presence to all who propagate the gospel. Now, what does that promise do? When he said he's with you, write this down. That promise will make you think, consider, reason, learn, meditate, and remember. Let me say it again. That promise that he's with you always will make you think. Preaching should never supersede thought. It should make you think. Consider. Consider the apostle and the high priest of your profession, Christ Jesus. Boy, I love it. Reason. Come, let us reason together. Learn. The Bible says, learn of me. Meditate. Read my word. Meditate day and night. And remember, one of the greatest things God has ever given us is memory. When something goes bad, you know what I do? I remember something good, Glenn. When something goes bad sometimes, the other day, my lawyer friend here did my taxes and I had to pay again. I remembered when I had a refund. I don't mind paying taxes. I pay a lot of taxes. See, people all over St. Charles Parish say, oh, he don't pay no tax. Lord Jesus, my taxes would take care of you for a few years. I pay a lot of taxes. You see, but the word of God, see, does something. See, this is what, that's why Jesus rose from the dead. Now, this is about you. That, lo, I'm with you always. Makes you think. Consider, reason, learn, meditate, and remember. Ah, there's so many things to remember. Today I'm remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'm also remembering at 8 o'clock this morning, my mother went home to be with the Lord in 1982 on Easter Sunday. Well, were you sad? No, she's not dead. She lives better now than she's ever lived. She's not in an 8-foot wide, 32-foot trailer anymore. Oh, she's in a mansion. She could have had one here. But she didn't think. They didn't teach her how to think. Religion said, we'll think for you. No. You must think yourself. They didn't teach her to consider what the word said. They didn't teach you to reason with God. They didn't teach you to learn of him, to meditate day and night, and then to remember. Yeah. Yeah. That's what the resurrection is telling each and every one of us. Let me say this. After his resurrection, I love this. The Lord gave me this morning. I had to add this to it. After the resurrection, all he said and done was for believers only. The first believers' convention. After the resurrection, all he said and all he ever did, all he done was for believers only. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, the disciples, the boys on the road to Emmaus. He wasn't talking to one sinner. He had a believers' convention. I think Brother Copeland would like that. I got to tell him that. Everything he did for believers. Do you know he's still doing that? He's still talking to believers. Amen. You're the one talking to sinners. Come on. My Lord. This resurrected. Why did he come? Why did he raise from the dead? For the world, for the church, and for you. Did you enjoy it today? Yeah. Did you learn something today? Yeah. There's not a day goes by that you're by yourself. He's with you always.